Hey, welcome to the Rock Life Podcast. My name is Antonio, and we are so excited to have you here with us today as we are doing our sermon rewind. That's right. We're going over the wonderful message that we heard. What's up, Pastor Dan? How you doing?
Doing good. How are you doing?
All right. We got the Christmas blessing part number two.
Wow.
And we get to kind of go back into that. And man, I just thought it was such a wonderful message.
Thank you.
So I'm excited to get into that this morning. Again, want to encourage you all to like, subscribe, comment, ask questions, share this episode, whether you are watching on YouTube, listening on the apps. Man, we are so grateful. We love the feedback. We love the greetings at the door. And man, it is always very encouraging for us.
Love it.
And I always say, I have to say it on every episode because people come up to me every week at the door and hey, and I
get about once a month.
Yeah, I can't help but feel like it's because we keep saying it. Hey, come to me. Come say come what's up. Come see us.
And listen.
So we appreciate you all that take the time. And we're doing this for you all. As you can see, well, if you're watching, we are cuddled up by a fire, not really, but we have a Christmas tree. We are approaching Christmas.
Yes, and we're burning the Rock Life podcast, it looks like.
And we have our set here. We dolled up our set. Shout out to Pastor Sue.
With our Charlie Brown Christmas tree here.
Charlie Brown Christmas tree.
Yep.
And, you know, you mentioned, it was this weekend. How many times people come up Sunday night or how many times people? No, it was yesterday's staff prayer. How everyone's question is, are you ready for Christmas?
Oh man, yeah, everybody's question. Right? Are you ready for Christmas?
That's just kind of like the conversation.
A month ago,
started.
It was like, are you ready for Thanksgiving? Yeah. Now it's, are you ready for Christmas? And the answer is,
It's still no.
Yes.
And you know, it makes me think of shopping and shopping for kids. Yeah. But you know what? I don't always like to shop for kids. I got to do what I got to do for me. So what is like, dad? Adult man shopping for you, Pastor Dan.
That's Costco.
That like? Costco.
Oh man, I went to Costco the other day.
Yeah,
and it'd been like a year because Jessica, she's been doing that online, delivery stuff from Costco.
Yep.
And I mean, we have two teenage boys in the home.
Oh yeah, so you go through food.
I mean, yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, like that Costco bill.
We'll buy fruit. We'll buy all that kind of stuff, the snacks and lunch stuff and all that, and it's gone in 2 weeks. I mean, with that, we do like the upper level membership where you get money back on your purchases, so it pays for the upper level membership, which is great in itself. And then we had like the cash, Costco cash, printed check or whatever that they send you in the mail. And so Jessica needed some wrapping paper for presents. And so I was like, I'm here in San Bernardino, I'll just run over to Costco. And she's like, well, we have the cash. I'm like, well, you and Chloe are going out, aren't you? And she's like, yeah. I said, bring me the check. I'll meet you at the entrance.
Yeah.
And then I'll buy the wrapping paper and I'll renew our membership, because it was time.
Yeah.
So so sure enough, we did that. But I mean, I tell you.
5 hours later.
Something, I don't know about five, but maybe four and a half. I mean, it was legit. I didn't eat lunch.
Yeah.
I sampled.
There you go.
You know, it was like, that was great. I mean, what store?
Yeah.
Do you go to that while you're shopping, you get fed?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, this is a man's store.
Yeah, they are smart.
Everything's big.
Yeah.
You know, everything's in bulk. And then you look at the deals. I'm like, yeah, man, I wasn't looking for a pair of,
Well, you went in for wrapping paper and hundreds of dollars later.
Yes.
That's just kind of the, me and Angelina have like
I found a tire inflator for Chloe.
There you go.
I mean, man stuff. You know what I mean? Like, she needs this.
This is necessary. How can I, it's a disservice.
My baby girl won't be safe.
Right.
If her tire goes flat on the road, she needs.
They know how to get you. And they put it right there where it looks so appealing.
Yeah.
So necessary.
I didn't need LED shop lights, but I was seriously considering and still am, like.
Garage racks. I mean, these are things.
I do need garage racks.
I walk in there. I'm like, oh, gosh, I need some of those.
Yeah. Because I have garages that the guy that owned the house before me was a dentist.
Uh-huh.
He built all these shelves, which I was like, these shelves are great. Yeah. I've got storage for days. Well, he built them the size of like those office boxes.
Yeah.
So to put like a real bin or something like that, you can't put a thing on them. They're not wide enough. They're not tall enough. So I broke one whole section out and I put racks in and it is amazingly wonderful.
Yeah.
It's just now I've got like 50 more racks to bust out in the garage.
So now you need some racks.
Racks on racks.
So, it's Costco and then I would say Home Depot is like my Toys R Us.
Yes.
Right.
Love Home Depot.
Now you just you just finished a home project. You're doing a DIY.
My fence.
Yeah, you're doing
I'm not done yet. Okay. This is the project that never ends. I've got a fence on the side of the house that I've been doing panel by panel. So there's like these big brick columns, and in between is the wood fence panels. So I'm just removing the old wood, putting new in because it was like so old. It was ripping to pieces. The wind would blow it over, all that kind of stuff. And so finally just did all that.
Yeah.
And then in the middle of the project, the family decided we're going to paint the fence white, you know? And so like I've got
half white,
you know, and then the new panels that I'm putting up, I'm like, okay, I got to paint them as I go because I don't want to paint afterwards. Cause I'm, you know, I'm one of those guys.
Did you buy the prefab panel? Like,
I wish I could, but the sizes, I have to do the custom size, you know? So it's a different size. And then all I have left, like the whole thing is done.
Yeah.
All I have left is like a 1 foot section by the garage, and then there's a big opening for a big swing gate where the garbage cans and my pool equipment is. And so I have to do that, but I'm not going to do a single one because it's just too heavy.
Right.
Like right now we've got like this big you know, wheel on the bottom and all that kind of stuff. So I'm going to do the double opening.
Cool. Oh, that's cool.
Less weight, you know, all that kind of stuff. I'll probably have to drill a hole and say sorry to our podcast listeners. You're hearing all my the men are like, yes. Yeah. And
well,
the women are like, move on. Please move
how
on.
How many trips to Home Depot did it take?
Oh, my gosh. It's a minimum of two per panel. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, okay, I got to go get another drill bit. Or, you know, I'm out of screws already. Right. Like, and this past one, sure enough, I went to Home Depot, got everything that I thought I needed, got all the wood and all that kind of stuff. And so the next morning, I was getting ready to go and start the project. And I'm like, Jess, I'm going to Home Depot. She's like, you were just there yesterday. I'm like, I know, but I don't have. And
I don't. I'm convinced you don't really do the project well unless you had to do at least two trips. I mean, because you can map it out, and then something that you didn't have or need, and then when you get there, then you need more stuff.
It's amazing how
it's like a Costco. Yeah. You're just adding it, anyways. Well, that's not what we're here to talk about. It is Christmas time, and I'm sure we could talk about Costco and Home Depot all day. But we are here to rewind this message. And I really enjoyed this message, Pastor Dan.
Oh, man.
Because it was a Christmas message.
Yes.
In that it was a Christmas blessing, but it was so much more. And we're talking about, first you opened up the message talking about some of the blockages, that some of the things that could inhibit us from receiving these blessings that we're talking about. And then you give us these really practical things that are going to help the blessings flow.
Right.
And so what was the thought process there, even in the preparation and the okay, so I want to give some of the most common block things that we can kind of get over, and then let me give the 1, 2, 3, or what's...
No, so I always start with the word.
Right.
So what I didn't know I was going to do a part two of the Christmas blessing until I started reading the stories.
Mm.
So what I did was I approached the scriptures, and I let the scriptures speak to me, right? Because I never want to be the type of guy that says, hey, here's my message, and then, God, what does your word say about
it? Yes, yes.
You know, and kind of bend the word to what I want to think. No, the word is telling me.
That's good, amen.
Jesus is teaching us, right? Yeah. He is the word, and so the Holy Spirit is the teacher now that's illuminating. This is what God is speaking. So I let the word speak to me. So even in part number one, I let the word speak to me. This is a Christmas blessing. Christmas, and as I'm reading the story, I'm going, man, there's miracles at Christmas, you know? So it reminds us that God can do the impossible.
Yeah.
Miracles can't happen, you know? So as I was reading, I was like, okay, here's the second week. We're going to be looking at Christmas again. And as I approached the stories of Christmas surrounding it, I was just drawn to the wise men this time. Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit was showing me that these guys had blockages to the blessing. There was a blessing waiting for them. They were going to see the Christ child.
Yeah.
But they had distance, they had costs, they had opposition. There was all these things that they had that were blockages to their blessings. And even the people of Jerusalem, right? Herod, they had an enemy that was there. The people were indifferent to the story. I mean, if you read about the shepherds, it says they spread widely the saying that was made known about this child.
Mm.
Widely.
Yeah.
That would have hit Jerusalem.
Right.
And they would have known about it.
Yeah.
It's only 6 miles away, half a day's journey. They would have heard, there's a baby in Bethlehem that's been born. He's the Christ child.
Yeah.
And what did they do? Oh, huh, that's cool.
Yeah.
And just moved on with their lives.
Yeah.
But that's where the story was showing me those things, you know? Selfishness.
Yeah.
Right? Herod is vastly selfish.
Yeah.
And I know in our society, too, as I'm reading that story, I'm looking at our society, man. People are opposed to the gospel. People are selfish. People don't want to spend anything or do anything. They want the blessing without the journey.
Just to have it come,
Yeah, and it doesn't happen that way. Right. You never see that. Mm-hmm. The men and women of God throughout the Bible, they had to pray, they had to fast, they had to fight, they had to travel. I mean, there were all sorts of things that they had to do. I mean, Jesus sent a blind man to a pool across the city to go and wash.
Yeah.
It wasn't just like, hey, you're healed. And you know, there were people that were like, why did that guy have to walk? He's blind.
Right.
And yet he sent him. Why? Because there's something that's invested and something that's involved. And there are blockages to our blessing. Are you really willing to do what it takes to get to the thing that you are desiring of God? You know, we talked about ask, seek, and knock, and keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, those sorts of things. And so that'll overcome those things as we get to them. We can't be indifferent. We have to be after it.
Yeah.
You know, we can't be selfish. We have to be other-centered, God-centered, and selfless, if you will, because God can bless those things.
Well, you know, it makes me think of, my mind often comes from a practical perspective, and I can, like, in other words, like, why? You know, I ask the question why a lot. And but I think, like, well, why would God have them do? And there's always to be in the natural, there's a very clear reason. And and I've always heard the adage, some to the extent of, like, you couldn't know good unless you first experienced bad. Right. In terms of, like, how would you know this was a great day unless you've had bad days before? It makes the great days sweeter. How would you know what warmth, how could you appreciate warmth unless you experience cold?
Sure.
Right. So there's some of that, like, oh, well, I have to walk through here. There's the adversity that you have to face to even appreciate and understand that this is a blessing.
Right.
And I can see even Jesus was a very practical person. That's what I can relate in that sense. You know, we have that connection that I get to experience, like, oh, that's, because sometimes, I don't know about you, Pastor, I feel bad the way my mind works sometimes, because it's like, I wish I just had the faith for that, or I just saw it differently. Like, why do I need some, or why do I ask the questions I ask? You know, and I don't believe I'm alone talking to believers. Like, oh, I feel guilty that I asked this question. Or like, hey, I'm in the same boat with you. And I don't think God is, you know, he said God's not taking Prozac over my questions.
Sure.
Right?
Like,
and so when we see some of these things in the natural, that God allows us to go through some of these things, and there's the reason why I'm going to have you walk across the city or experience some of these things.
Well, I think too, God is big enough to handle our questions.
Yeah.
You know, and he doesn't always answer them the way that we like to. I mean, Job had questions.
Right.
God was like, who is this that darkens counsel? Where were you when I created everything? You know, Job's like, oh, yeah, okay, I get it.
Right.
But I mean, you know, there were people that had really deep burning questions, burdens, and things like that. And Jesus has come to me. You know, he's big enough to handle those things. And, you know, there were those throughout the scriptures that you take a look at that, you know, many times they know the reason why.
Yeah.
Especially when you take a look at the Old Covenant, they knew it was their sin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they knew the reasons why some of the things had happened.
Yeah.
But when you get to someone like a Job, you know, we understand that God has those things and that the secret things belong to the Lord. And so we're not going to get every answer to every question. But at the same time, God still is big enough and faithful enough. And I love what Paul told Timothy. He said, if you have questions about that, pray.
Mm-hmm.
God will make that clear to you as well.
Yeah.
You know, it was just like such a simple answer. You know, like, hey, if you don't understand this, just pray. God will tell you.
Yeah.
You know, and that gives you permission to have the questions. Well, why?
Exactly. And I've told you that before. I love when we see what I would say biblical precedents for that helps us not get caught up in some of our questions, feelings, emotions.
Sure.
When we see in scripture, like, oh, here's our permission. Something's not wrong with me because I have this feeling, have this thought.
I think it comes back to the motive of the heart too. If, you know, there's a difference between asking God a question and questioning God. Right. It's like, you know, no one should say when they're tested that God is testing me, because God can't be tested or tempted with sin, right?
Yeah.
God's not going to tempt you with sin. In the same way, we shouldn't put God to the test with our questioning. Mm-hmm. Well, God, why did you make me this way? Or why did you do that? You know, because it's you don't really want an answer.
As if you're accusing
God of something, right? That's different than saying, God, I don't understand this. Can you make this clear to me?
Yeah.
God, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But if it's just like, you know,
that's a heart posture, right? A posture of humility, a posture of, hey, you don't owe me this.
Yeah.
Versus like, hey, you owe me an answer. Yeah, you're going to answer me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can see that. That actually clarifies that heart posture thing mm-hmm. for us, because it is the difference between kind of like, you know, it makes you think as a dad, how my kids, you know,
my kids have asked me questions and my kids have questioned me, and there is a difference. Yeah. And I've done that to my parents. Right. I've done that to authorities at times.
Whether it's the tone, it's the posture, you're just being entitled right now is my thought. I'm like, oh, shoot. Am I an entitled son of God in instances, right? And so I don't want to operate in that entitlement. I want to go through. So, you know, you talked about the blockages, and I think we've talked about this before, because it's not like hey, I just want to get blessed by God, whatever I got to do. But you gave some of the things that would block our blessing, not just so that I can go and get blessed, but in removing some of these blockages, we're going to really open up our heart. We're going to really open up our lives to just kind of be positioning ourselves to receive the gospel, to receive the message that Jesus puts forth. And then you give these things, and I want to go through them. Because there's the breakthrough to our blessing, and everyone loves. That's why I love, like that our breakthrough is coming. But it wasn't so much about just getting your blessing, getting your breakthrough. It's about I felt like there was always other people. It was other people, mm-hmm. others first, not just me and getting mine. Right? It wasn't like I got to get my blessing. What do I got to do to get my blessing? As I operate these, as I'm receiving this breakthrough, I'm going to see this benefit and bless other people through me as well.
Right.
So what would you think, how do you navigate through wanting to be blessed or having blessings in your life without it feeling so me-centered? And
it's a great question. And I think that's where one thing is that the scriptures are clear. God promises mm-hmm. certain things.
Yeah.
One of the things he promises is blessings. Now, there are conditions attached to that, mm-hmm. and there are also blockages to those things. So if God wants me to have something, I should want it.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Because God is right.
Yep. That's so good.
And if I feel differently or if I think differently, then I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Because if God has a purpose and a plan on the earth, and he wants to bless me, and blessing, I think the definition too, if a blessing to you is money, things, all that, you've got the wrong idea about what blessing is.
Right.
When you define blessing as the capacity to succeed,
that's good,
right? It changes. Well, mm-hmm. then I want that.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because God wants me to be successful. Success is a Bible word.
Yeah.
You know, Joshua was there getting ready to take the children of Israel into the promised land. This is important because the promised land would be the place mm-hmm. where God would bring forth his promise of a person, the Messiah, who would save his people, Israel, and the world from sin, right?
So man-tainted or perverted blessing.
Exactly. Right. So Joshua needed a blessing to succeed at his task, his assignment in life, which was to take the children of Israel into the promised land through the conquest and the war and all that kind of stuff. And in order to do that, he needed the blessing of God. He needed the capacity to succeed. So what does God tell him? God tells him, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you. Be strong and of good courage. But then he says in verse number 90, Joshua 1:9, do not let this book of the law depart from your lips. Mm-hmm. The word of God, which contains the promises of God.
So good.
And it says, for then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success.
Yes.
So success is a Bible word.
Mm-hmm.
God wants us to be successful. Why? Because he's bringing his purposes and his plan
through
our lives. Now, if that includes money, resource, wealth, things, all that kind of stuff, God will get that to you to equip you to fulfill his purpose. But again, it's not for selfish purposes.
That wasn't even, the things aren't even the blessing.
That's not the blessing. The blessing is the capacity to succeed.
Right.
With the blessing may come wealth.
Right.
It may come influence.
Yeah.
It may come resource.
Right.
May come wisdom. May come strength. May come any number of things, right? That whatever God determines you need, he'll fully equip you to succeed. But the money in and of itself is not a blessing. It's just matter. It's just paper. It's just a number.
That would help, because then when we see people with things, like, oh, how come they're blessed? And that's not necessarily a blessing, right? I mean, because to them, yes, the things could be a downfall, right?
It
could
How
be,
many rich, wealthy people in the world right. have ended their lives because they were unhappy?
Right.
You know, how many people won the lottery and it destroyed their family?
Right.
Do the research. I mean, yeah. there's whole television shows that are created around this idea yeah. that the lottery busted people up, you right. know, or that they were unwise or that sort of a thing. But, I mean, very few people can handle success,
yes.
true success, yeah. right? And that's where a lot of people can handle adversity.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, when they see people who are blessed succeeding, mm-hmm. well, why am I not?
Yeah.
Why can't I have that? You know, you can. Through the word of God, through the promises of God, and for the purposes of God.
Yeah.
If we take the stance that everything that I have is for kingdom use and resource, it changes the way that we view right. stuff.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not my stuff. It's not my house. It's not my car. Not my clothes. Not anything, right?
Yeah.
It's all in my hand, and it's all available to my covenant partner. Why? Because my covenant partner, everything I have is his, and everything he has is mine. Whatever's God's is mine, whatever mine is God's. So if God wants anything, God, you want my house? Here it is. I'll sell it. I'll give it
yeah.
away.
Yeah.
Whatever. Because I know that if God called me to live in a tent in the San Bernardino Mountains up here, he'd supply it.
Yeah.
Whatever I need, you know.
Yeah.
If he could command ravens to feed Elijah and a brook to, you know, give him water,
mm-hmm.
hey, God can do the same for me.
Yeah.
But in the same token, on the other hand, if God has a purpose for our life and we have a need, everything my covenant partner has is mine. I can yeah. call on the resources of heaven. And that's where we shouldn't feel guilty if we've got the right motive and the right heart and the right understanding of what the blessing is and what it's for.
Yeah.
Okay. T.L. Osborne sat across from Pastor Jim and Deborah at a meeting one time. They were eating a meal and they were talking, and he said something that deeply impacted her. He said, with everything, good for God, good for others, good for us.
Yeah.
In that order.
Yeah.
It has to start with being good for God. Then yeah. next, it's good for others, and then it's good for us. And
yeah.
and that's how Pastor Jim and Deborah did their business dealings.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they would deal with things in the church.
Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't good for God, we're not doing it.
Yeah.
It's good for God, but it's not good for someone else. Nope.
Right.
And then right. finally, the last of the three, is right. it good for us?
Right.
It may be good for God and good for others. Not good for us. We're not going to do it. You know. But if it's good for God, good for others, good for us, hey,
yeah.
great. Perfect.
Right. Yeah.
It's good for God, good for us, but not good for others? Nope.
I think that's a great gauge for us so that we don't get into either false humility of, well, mm-hmm. I'll just take one for the team. Like, because then you X out. If we just lower ourselves or we think of ourselves as nothing, it's like
right.
humility isn't thinking of yourself. What is it? The one way I like
Self-less.
To put it. Yeah, exactly. It's about thinking about your – it's not thinking that you're worthless, but rather just – you're not at the forefront of all your thoughts, right?
It's not just thinking less of yourself.
Yes,
it's thinking
about
yourself less.
Right, and it's just, so it's not like I have to rip myself off. Everyone else is for everyone's betterment at my expense, right? Because that's not love either in terms of, like, now I know I love you at my expense, but I'm not doing things that are just going to rob me and that's
right.
and call that.
Well, I think of it in terms of, you know, when there's interactions and things like that. So Jessica and I, there's been times where we have taken losses
right.
on things because we've, out of love
yeah.
or out of a purpose with God, known God's going to provide for us. So we'll take the hit on this
yeah.
out of love.
Yeah.
Even though it wasn't necessarily the best we could have done on the
right.
deal or
yeah.
whatever it is, we've said it's good for us in the sense that we know God's going to take care of us,
yes.
right? And we'll take the hit
yeah.
or we'll take the loss or whatever that is. And so we've done that multiple times. I mean, we've had areas where we've either taken a loss or paid out of our own pocket
right.
for something to happen for someone. And I'm dancing around this because I don't
right.
want to get into the specifics
no,
of that.
Right, but
you
there
know,
are
but
examples of instances where you've
yes.
walked this out.
Because it was good for God, it was good
right.
for them,
yeah.
but out of love, even though some people might say it wasn't good for me,
right.
I had to pay out of my own pocket,
yeah.
but I know something better. I know that
right.
whatever I sow, I'll reap.
So there's still good for
there's
you
still
in
good
it.
For us
right.
in there,
yeah.
And as well, the detachment of things,
right.
or you know, in the sense that some people say, well, it's not good. You took a loss on that sale.
Right.
No, it's good in the sense that
right.
now there's a spiritual principle at place
mm-hmm.
that God will repay,
right?
God will take
right.
care of me. I'm
right.
fine.
Is that I won't take something that didn't cost me something.
Yes.
Right. I love that. I always love that scripture because, like, well, no, it's going to cost. I'm going to pay something into this. It's going to cost me something.
So when we say good for us, what we're saying is it may be good in the sense of good as whatever God says. Mm-hmm. It may not feel good sometimes, you know, because there have been times where we've taken a loss and we said, why did we do that? You know, and it feels bad because it's like, man, we could have sold that out somewhere else and done a whole lot better. But then we bring ourselves back to, well, it's good for us because God said, or because God will repay, or because we've sown. Mm-hmm. In an area that we're going to reap.
Yeah.
And we've seen it time and time. I mean, gosh, we lack for nothing.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's not always immediate then, right? Like, there's
no.
There's the effort of, or the idea of sowing.
We play the long game.
Yeah.
We don't play the short return game.
Right.
I mean, if it was just about the bottom line and just about the dollar, I wouldn't have done half the stuff I've done.
Quid pro quo, is that would be?
Yes. Yeah. We're not into that.
Yeah. No, that's good, Pastor. So going into the specific points, for our breakthrough, right?
Yes.
Diligence, dependence, and deliverance.
Yeah.
The
three D's.
Yeah, the three D's
the
here.
The teacher came out.
That, and I loved it. And it. Well, it was almost, so you have gents, dents, and rents, right? Well, diligence, dependence, and deliverance. Are those nouns, or what would you consider those when they're like, sorry.
I didn't do well in grammar.
As you can tell, either did I. I was
I think
creative
I got a C
writing, you know,
in college. But C's get degrees.
There you go. But our blessings are found in these areas. And again, summing up what we've talked about, these are not me first things, right?
So no.
That further showing that the blessing isn't this adding on to me.
Let's point out the promise of God. So diligence, right?
Right.
Okay. Now, this is not the only factor.
Right.
But I think it's overlooked because a lot of people think, well, the grace of God or, you know, that's where the God will just take care of everything. But there is a part that man has to play. The Apostle Paul said, I worked harder than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Yet not I, but the grace of God that was in me, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
He was able to do some phenomenal things, but man, that guy did a lot.
Yeah.
You know, he preached till people fell out of windows and died.
Right.
You know, like
the
guy was just always going. He was always doing something. He was always working. I mean, you find him, here's a shipwreck, and what is he doing? This old little Jewish man is gathering sticks to throw into the fire.
Right.
The guy was just helpful and diligent,
mm-hmm.
you know, and couldn't stop thinking about the churches. The weight of the church is on me daily. I'm praying for you guys. I didn't want to be a burden, so I'm working. He's building, you know, making tents while he's ministering to the church at Corinth.
Yeah.
Talked about how daily he was in the school of Tyrannus teaching.
Mm-hmm.
This guy was just always on doing something, right?
Yeah.
Now, okay, we're talking about the blessing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people say, well, you know, I don't want to be selfish, but, you know, diligence will bring those blessings, okay?
Right.
Why? Because there's a promise in Proverbs that says the diligent hand shall be made rich.
Mm.
The diligent hand shall rule.
Yeah.
Two different scriptures, okay?
Yeah.
Now, if you ever want to know why CEOs of ungodly corporations are bringing in money hand over fist, it's because they're diligent.
Mm-hmm.
They don't take days off.
Right.
They don't have family life. A lot of them, their families end in divorce because they're always, but they're making millions, if not billions of dollars.
Right.
Why? Because of the spiritual principle that they don't know is in the Bible, but they're operating in of diligence. Okay. So when I see a Christian that says, I'm giving to the church and I'm not rich, are you lazy?
Right.
Because you can give and never.
Right. You're still not operating in the full diligence and plan that God has.
The word reaping
is
associated with work.
Right.
Right?
No, that's so good.
How are you going to reap?
Right, you sowed, but you didn't.
You expect it to fall down, you know, God's going to open the windows of heaven, so it's going to rain down on you?
Yeah.
No. It's going to happen when you go to work and you get the promotion.
Right.
And then you get the bonus.
Yeah.
And then somebody blesses you with a gift card.
Right.
And then you get the, you know, the employee of the month, and there's a trip to Hawaii or, you know, whatever it is. God knows how to get it to you, right? You go to the grocery store and everything breaks and they go, oh, you know what? Just take the cart of groceries. I mean, it happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just was talking to a guy. He had his brother in Colorado say, hey, there's a great deal on this. Can I buy you one? He goes, yeah, buy me one. I'll pay you back. So sends him the money.
Yeah.
And so later on, the guy got a call from the company, and they said, hey, we're so sorry. We haven't sent you your refund check yet. He goes, oh, no, I got the item.
Yeah.
And they said, no, we need to send you a refund. He says, no, I have the item. They said, okay, we'll look into it. Never called him back.
Yeah.
Well, his brother called him back and said, hey, I just wanted to follow up. And they said, oh, yeah, we'll look into it. He's, no, no, no. You said that last time. Let me talk to your manager. Talk to the manager. Manager goes, okay, well, I'll look into that.
Yeah.
He says, okay. Manager never called him back. Finally, he calls him back and says, hey, I need to take care of this. I have the item. My brother has it, you know?
Yeah.
And they said, no. We show. And so he got a check. He called me. He says, I have this check. My brother has the item. They said, that's your check, sir.
Right.
He got it for free.
Yeah.
See, I think that's the thing is that, but this guy was diligent going after it,
right?
Trying to make things right and still was blessed. We've had that with groceries delivered to our house. Right. We called, hey, we didn't order these.
Yep.
Oh, so sorry. Our mistake. Keep the groceries.
Right. Yeah. No, I love that because so many times, especially believers, we just want it to fall out of the sky. God, if you love me. But you just blew the spot with there's the sowing. Hey, I'm a tither. I'm a giver.
Why isn't the money coming?
There's the reaping. I mean, if you think about it in the very practical sense, it's like you leave money on the table. You go, you open your window, you see the backyard, you see, you know, say you have an orchard, you leave all the fruit on there. You have to pick it and sell it.
Yes.
God, send me. Anything could have happened with that harvest. The oranges could have frozen. God saw it through that they're healthy, they're ready. They just need to be picked and sold. But you got to do that part.
I heard a farmer one time in a church service say, the harvest isn't going to reap itself.
Mm. So good.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I mean, it's work.
God, I need a miracle. The miracle is, boom. I got you through the harvest time. Everyone else's harvest died. Yours made it.
Yeah.
Everyone else's. Have a perfect.
Isaac sowed in a time of famine, reaped a hundredfold. Isaac sowed.
That's so good.
Isaac worked.
Right.
In a time of famine when everybody else was saying, why even work?
Yep.
Because you're not going to get any return. But Isaac worked and got a return.
There's blessing. There's the plan for success.
There you go.
Plan for success. And I love that, Pastor Dan. So that's so good because. And before we're closing up, I want to go on this word too, because I want to make sure that we're not getting caught up on the semantics of things for our listeners and for people.
Sure.
Because I know these are great areas we love to claim, we love to talk about, but sometimes there's that hang up, and sometimes maybe it's in the semantics. Talk about breakthrough, right? Because I know this is a very churchy word, and I want my breakthrough. And you're talking about the plans for breakthrough, and these are, and I love again. That these are things that are not just, it's going to fall out of the sky for me. It's in my dependence. It's in deliverance. I have to see it in other places. But the breakthrough happens. What does that mean?
So, I mean, it's one of those words that I oftentimes, when I think about the word, I go back to a biblical illustration. And you know, we'll kind of see some of the things that we talked about. Diligence, the right heart, you know, the purposes of God, as well as deliverance, right? Okay, so all three of those things that we talked about, the message. You see this in this story. It's a time where King David is coming up against an enemy.
Yeah.
And as they're getting ready, he asks God, what do I do? Okay. Gets the word of the Lord. God says, I want you to go around this way. Okay. So they go, they fight, they win, right? So now they're coming up again, second time. Second time, he inquires of the Lord again.
Yeah.
Now this time God says, I want you to go, and it's an unusual story. So I want you to go into the mulberry trees. And he says, and when you hear the sound of marching above you, then you'll know.
Yeah.
And he goes to that place, and sure enough, they're there in the trees waiting to go and attack. They hear the marching sound. They rush out, and they just have like the most amazing victory in the battle. And he calls it the God of Breakthrough, that place. And in doing so, has a name of the Lord that's given to him a revelation in that moment of who God is, right? Mm-hmm. God is a God of breakthrough.
Yeah.
And he said he's like the breaking of water. If you've ever, you know, it's kind of fascinating. There's this video, I think Pastor Luke used it years ago in one of his messages, of a dam that broke.
Yeah.
And the water breaking through. That visual is what I get a picture of, that there's all this stored in water. Oftentimes is a blessing, right? Because if you take water to a desert, you can actually make it into greenery and lush and, you know, a forest and all that kind of stuff, because water carries blessing, right? Rivers you can travel on, right?
Yeah.
So when we think about that, think about that dam holding water back, and then the breakthrough happens. There was a blockage, something that was holding it up, that now when the water is able to break through that, now all of a sudden it carries with it the ability to bring life. And so I tell you, scriptures are rushing through my head right now about, you know, the sight of Jesus, yeah. water and blood mm-hmm. breaking through, yeah. Yeah. you know, as the spear pierced his side,
yeah.
things like that, you know. Even the children of Israel walking through the waters, right? Yep. It's the symbol of baptism. Baptism is a breakthrough from death to life, yeah. right? It's a so symbol good. that things that happen. There's washing that takes mm-hmm. place, cleansing, all that. So with that breakthrough, remember, David had the word of the Lord.
Yep.
As he followed it, he had success. He was diligent to do what he did. We attacked this way the one time, yep. but then we waited in the trees the other
yep.
time.
Yep.
Right? So he has the diligence to do what he should do. He had to hold a sword. He had to fight.
Right.
But then he had the right heart. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do this for my own glory. I'm going to do this for God's glory. He's the God of breakthrough.
Right.
Right? And God delivered the enemy into their hands. And so when we talk about breakthrough, when we talk about, you know, in those terms, many times people, what people are referring to is that there is a blockage.
Yeah.
And I need a breakthrough. I need yeah. that life to be carried through this mm-hmm. obstacle mm-hmm. to me.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, even I had some wonderful members of ours, and maybe they're listening. If you are listening, you know who you are, and I love you guys. They came to me and they say, "Hey, we're seeing a lot of songs that talk about there's a breaking."
Yeah.
You know, can we get a little teaching on yeah, that? Yeah, you yeah, know, right. And so I ministered to them, and I've said it from the pulpit a couple times now. But sometimes you need a breaking to get a breakthrough.
Yeah.
You need that wall to collapse yeah. in order to get the breakthrough.
Yeah.
You need that obstacle to be broken, mm-hmm. you know, or the plan of the enemy to be broken so that yeah. now the Spirit of God can rush yeah. in like a flood.
Yeah.
Right? You know, and break through those obstacles, break through that line, mm-hmm. You know, even gosh, the water and the breakthrough again.
Right.
King David is lamenting, "Oh, that I had water from the well at the Bethlehem, which right. is beside the gate," and his mighty men run and break through the Philistine lines to go yeah. get that water. Now David pours it out because yeah. I'm not drinking this at the lives of the blood of these yeah, men, you know, right, yeah. and he just had this great heart, but they yeah. respected him for that.
Right.
But they had to break through mm-hmm. enemy lines to get to the water.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's where I think for us, if we're looking for the blessing, there may be some diligent things, some unselfish things, some, you know, and then some supernatural God things that we need that breakthrough.
Yeah.
To get to that blessing
yeah.
that's going to bring life.
Amen. And we're believing for you, for our listeners, for our house,
yeah.
as believers, that we are going to see this breakthrough as we're diligent.
Yeah.
As we, come on, have dependence on him, and yep. as we are delivered through these things, that we will receive those blessings, the plan of success for God in our life.
And I would say for people that are listening, for your life, absolutely. Yeah. For your marriage, some of you yeah. guys need breakthrough for your marriage to be blessed. Yeah. For your children. Mm-hmm. So because your children are wandering, you need breakthrough.
Yeah.
You know, breakthrough the enemy's lies and things like that. Man, yeah. God will deliver your children. So you guys need breakthrough financially. We understand that, man. It's tough times right now.
Yeah.
And getting tougher has been. God can break through those things.
Amen.
But how about this on the church side of things? Us together collaboratively yeah. as the church, the body of Christ, we need to break through to San Bernardino. We need to
right.
break through to the Inland Empire.
Yeah. Yeah.
We need to break through to California and these yeah. United States and the world. We yeah. need this gospel
Amen.
To break through
yeah.
the enemy's hindrances.
Yep.
And we need to be diligent about telling the gospel
yep.
and unselfish with our time, our talent, our treasure to move this thing forward. There's a greater purpose of God.
Preaching,
He
Pastor.
Wants to break through
yeah. Yeah.
and get this gospel out
yeah.
and bless more people.
Amen. Amen. Well, guys, we are so blessed by you all. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
We are believing for you, the Christmas blessing. Hear it again. Listen to it again. Online, on the podcast, we are so just blessed by you guys. We're great.
And if I could say, this podcast was brought to you this week by Christmas Eve Communion, Candlelight Communion Service coming up.
Come on, you got to be here.
Tuesday, December 24th at 5 p.m. We're looking forward to celebrating communion with you guys and then going to be with family.
Amen. Love you guys. God bless you.